The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 16. Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, quote, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he began to say to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself.' What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well." And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath, and they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Take a look at that picture on the front of the bulletin. Quite a scary crowd. Amen. Especially if they are looking at you looking like that. It's fascinating to hear how Jesus went to his hometown, and as was his custom, he went to church. And in the rabbinical tradition, rabbis would show up and rabbis would be invited to preach and teach. And so Jesus sits down, they stand and then sit down, and he sits down to preach, different custom. And this is an awesome sermon. I mean, this is like the best sermon ever, because in it, he explains why he came and how he came to fulfill what God had promised. And it's as good as God has promised it, promises made, promises kept. They're done. For today, in your hearing, all this good news is fulfilled. I mean, this is why Jesus came. He came to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening to the prison to them who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Jubilee, release. This is what it's all about, and this is good news. The challenge is that this good preaching is not appreciated. What do they want to do with the rabbi? They want to kill him. Exercising his divinity, though, he walked away. It wasn't his time. But his sermon, instead of being received in faith, was received in stubborn unbelief. Couldn't be. No way. And so they sought to kill a son of the community. Now, I can dare say that in my years of preaching, I've never had a reaction like this. I mean, I'm still here. But there have been occasions when people have made it a point in the nonverbal, that's one of the biggest parts of communication, they have made it a point to let me know that they did not appreciate what I was saying as I was focusing my message on Jesus. Good preaching is not always appreciated, but man, it makes a difference. The seminary had a rule: for every minute you were in the pulpit, you had to prepare for an hour. And so for the 22 and one half minute sermon, I don't know where they came up with that, 22 and a half minutes. But for 22 and a half minutes, that meant you put in at least 22 hours of prep time for the sermon. And, you know, I heard it. I think all of us heard it. Yeah, whatever. It's not that big of a deal. We can do it quicker. And then I started being a preacher. And I was blown away how much of my work week was invested in just figuring out how in the world I'm going to preach and what I'm going to teach and how I've got an audience of one who knows if I slack. You know, I'm here to preach for you. I'm here to preach with you. Sometimes I have to preach at you. But keep in mind, even when I have to preach at you, I'm the first one I'm preaching to. And I'm to preach publicly for you, and with you, and at you. And keep in mind, when I'm publicly preaching at you, I'm preaching at me. And I have an audience of one who doesn't miss a thing. And yet, it's through this process that God intends to deliver people. I mean, of all the ways God could save people, it's amazing to think that it's through preaching that God saves people. Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God." So the message of the cross is the dunamis, the dynamite of God. It is powerful. "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe." So I'm a foolish preacher. You have asked me to come and do a bunch of foolish preaching, but God is pleased through that foolish preaching to save people who believe it. It's amazing. There's a hymn in our hymn book that talks about the preacher recklessly sowing his word. And it really struck me the last time I sung that with the first congregation, the idea that my preaching at best is reckless. Maybe you felt that way about some of my preaching. But it's fascinating to hear how God is pleased to save those who believe. Again, it's verse 21. "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe." God is pleased to save those who believe. And the whole content of preaching is all about Jesus. Paul to the Corinthians said, "When I was among you, I knew nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified." It's in that message of the cross that lives are changed, that lives are revived, that people realize there is hope and peace and joy and love in a world that just wants to suck it all out of us. Man, there are times when we gather here, we're so battered and smashed because of all the unbelief that has been going on around us and even the unbelief in us, that we need a faith lift. And it's through this foolish preaching that God saves us and rescues us and blesses us. Paul said it this way to the Romans in chapter 10. He said, about the preaching, how then will they call on the one they have not believed in? And why is this so important? Because this is the truth. Anyone who trusts in the Lord, Scripture says, anyone who trusts in the Lord will never be put to shame. Boy, how many ways does that get tested in your life and my life? How many ways does unbelief try to batter us away from that confidence in the Lord? To the Thessalonians, Paul says, for this reason, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance so that you may do the will of God and receive what is promised. And what is promised is received by faith. By faith. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, because it's through that good news that unbelief is cast out again and again and again and again. And our faith is lifted and our faith is blessed. Man, what a sermon Jesus preached. He took the Old Testament book, Isaiah, and he found where it was written hundreds of years before by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit through Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. And when you think of poor, it's all kinds of poverty. There are plenty of people that are very wealthy in the suburb of North Texas that are impoverished. And Jesus came for them. There are plenty of people in North Texas who are financially poor. Jesus came for them. How many ways can we feel impoverished in heart and mind, in body and soul, possessions and reputations? Jesus came to our rescue. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. How many ways can we be held hostage? How many of us feel like our job is more of a prison sentence than it is something where we can actually add value? Jesus is coming for you. He'll make it different for you. The recovery of sight to the blind. Certainly he healed people who could not see physically. But how many blind people in the Gospels could see Jesus when the people with eyes could not? How many ways are we failing to see how Jesus is coming to the rescue, answering our prayers, and we're not seeing it? Lord, open my eyes. It can be the prayer of us all. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, Jubilee. I mean, this is the sermon of the servant. And then he says, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. It's done. It's fascinating. In Hebrew and Greek, there are different tenses of verbs. And when you hear the perfect, and I won't get in all the details, or the aorist in the Greek, they're done. It's done. Many times in the Psalter, when we hear about God saving David for one thing or another, it's perfect. So not only has God saved, he will save because it's as good as done. And so promises made by God, promises are kept, and they're as good as done. That's why Jesus said, today in your hearing, this is fulfilled. It's done. He's got the journey to the cross yet. But because he is there, it is as good as done. In so many ways in your life and my life, we can't see it done until it's finished, and then we wonder how good our work is. His work is different. Today, in your hearing, it's fulfilled. It's done. God made promises. He's kept the promises. The promises are done. And that's the point of preaching and teaching, so that we can be filled with the joy of the Lord. I mean, like the church long ago in Nehemiah's day, we can feel so oppressed. And it's in the message of Jesus. The good news that he did what we could never do. He went the way of the cross so we would not have to. And it's in that good news that God loves us for the sake of his son, and we are fully and freely forgiven, that we can stand and have joy. It's fascinating. The priest said, eat the fat, drink the wine. In the Old Testament, only God was to eat the fat. And they're saying, relax. Take what is God's and enjoy it. Live in that grace that changes lives. Live in that forgiveness and love that will revive your hope like nothing else can. And understand that Jesus has come for you. I mean, that's the point of preaching and teaching this good news. Of course, Jesus had to strike them with the warning of unbelief. And unbelief is the same challenge in your life and my life. The good news is that God has sent his son to save us from that. And so our prayer can be every day, Lord, I believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. The good news is that's what Jesus came to do. Across the spectrum of your life and my life, there can be doubt and fears and regrets and tears. And in those places, the Lord says, I want you to know that I came to take care of this for you. Across the spectrum. And believe this good news of what I've done for you. And that's the whole purpose of preaching and teaching. His sermon hit it out of the park. And I have a job of pointing you to Jesus and his care for you in your life across all of your life. And I do it publicly for you because you've called me to do that here in this place. But as much as I am the public preacher, that does not relinquish your own preaching and teaching. So share the good news. Celebrate what the Lord has done. Lift high the cross. Tell everybody what Jesus has done. But be warned, good preaching is not always appreciated. Not everyone will like to hear what you have to say in your home or where you work or in your neighborhood. It was a lot of fun to be able to spend some time with my mom up in Montana when Van went and did his graduation hunting trip. And it was fascinating. Here's the preacher's son talking with mom. You know, the Apostle Paul says to the young evangelist, preach the word. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word. In season and out of season, correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Certainly, again, I do this publicly for you, and all of us are preachers. But it was really fun to talk with mom about things. You know, the last thing she wanted to say to me was, I hope I don't see you again. You know, she just wants to go to heaven. She's had it. You know, I say, well, Mom, God's not done with you yet. You're 92 and there's still more coming. The best is yet to come, kind of the wine thing, the third day of the wedding. And, you know, it's hard to preach that sermon to someone who's 92 when there's a lot of life that's already come. But, Mom, you're not finished yet. There's new things in this chapter of your life. And sometimes she would receive it. That's in season. Sometimes she just received it and not necessarily liked it. That's out of season. I mean, you and I know that there are times when perhaps in my preaching you say, just keep preaching, Pastor, I need all of this. And then there are times you say, I've had enough. You know, that's out of season. And there are times when you're going to need to talk with people you're praying for. And ideally, whoever you're wanting to share the good news with, you're talking with the Lord about first. This is an important, I mean, the quickest way to get to some of the people in our life is just to pray for them. But then sooner or later, you'll have to open up your mouth and talk with them too, the horizontal thing. And there are going to be times when they're going to welcome what you say. That's in season. And then there are going to be times when you say to yourself, I know this is not the time, and it's out of season for them, and they're not necessarily going to appreciate this, but I need to share the truth. Out of season as well. I'm thankful for a family where I get the good news in season and out of season, as I share it also with them at times when it's not always well received. And yet this is what we need. the Word of God that gives us life, that revives us, that focuses us on the Lord. So preach. Preach the Word. Share the good news. When it's appreciated and when it's not appreciated, share the truth of what God has done for the people in your life, His love for them. And like it says, you know, preach the Word wherever you're going, at work or at school, when you're in the mall, preach the Word. And if you have to, use words too. You see, you're a sermon by your very fact of being baptized. You're a sermon. You're a testimony to the risen and living Christ. You're a sermon wherever you go. You're a sermon when you take and eat and take and drink the body and blood of the Lord, proclaiming the Lord's death until He comes. So preach the Word. You're a sermon shaped by Jesus for the world around you to see. Share the truth and change lives in the love God has for us through Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.